Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
The FIA World Endurance Championship on RS1.
On RS1.
Part of the Radio Show Limited Network.
Well, it's a little bit of a practice of a full course caution. Oh, in fact, we must have just gone back to green. I can hear people back up to speed here at Sebring. Welcome along. I'm John Hindhoff. I'm down at Aston Martin Vantage Northwest AMR. And Axel Jeffries is with me wearing the shirt because you're doing a bit of testing. We found that out, yesterday or Friday. Welcome to Sebring. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me. It's obviously cool to be here.
This is a bit different, isn't it? Have you been to Sebring? If you have been to Sebring before, haven't you?
No, never been to Sebring before, never driven the car before, so it was quite a lot to learn. But I've enjoyed every single lap out there.
In terms of the rest of the season and, you know, what you might be doing in Europe, I'm not sure what you learn here at Sebring for that. It is absolutely unlike anywhere else.
It's completely different. Obviously, it's super bumpy, which everyone knows. And it takes a bit of time to get confidence, particularly in turn one and the last corner, quite high speed, and the car moves around over the bumps. But for sure, you learn something everywhere that you can apply somewhere around the world at some point.
Have you got to just believe in the car? One of the other Astons coming in there, that's the 777D station car. Have you just got to believe that the car's going to work with you?
Honestly, it's so impressive. I couldn't believe it the first time I went over the bumps. I was expecting a huge snap or something, and the car just takes it. So it is a bit of that, like every lap, just getting a bit more confidence to give more and more. Of course, at some point it will bite you, but I haven't got there yet.
I think that's probably the right way to do it. In the old days, it used to be spin at every corner and then back it off a little bit. I think here at Sebring, it's much better to work your way up than to come backwards from over the brink. What's the main thing that you'll take away from your laps here, Axel?
I think the main thing, before talking about the track, is I've really enjoyed working with the team. You know, it's a great group of guys. Nicky's been great as well. He's helped me a lot.
Nicky Team's been great.
Honestly, I'd never met him before this. I'd seen him in the paddock, but never spent time with him, and he's been amazing. He's helped me so much.
Don't take any fashion tips or personal grooming tips. I can see you've got a little bit of face fuzz. You don't need to go the way that Team's go.
I would do it if I could. This is as much as I can do at the moment.
What's the plans? What can you tell us about plans for 2023?
Look, I would obviously love to be here. It's a great opportunity. Let's see how it goes over today and obviously yesterday, and see what the team decide. That would be my main goal. Other than that, I'll for sure do some stuff on the Nordschleife again and some other GT3 championships.
You could have been at the Nordschleife this weekend, but there was no running yesterday because it was too icy and snowy. Instead, you're here. That's interesting choices.
It's a much better choice. Come on. To be there with like -1 degrees, you know, to be here in the sunshine in a cool car, it's a much better choice, yeah.
It is NLS1 next weekend. Have you got a drive in that, or are you going to jump in later in the NLS season and for the 24?
Obviously, it depends how this goes. If everything goes well, I hope to be here next week.
Okay.
If not, then yeah, I've got some stuff in the Nordschleife as well.
You've become known, quite rightly, as a bit of a Nordschleife expert. How do you approach a circuit that is so big, so complex, and so nuanced as well? It is like everybody's favourite country road, to be honest, but how do you get into the mindset and how do you approach learning that circuit, if indeed you can learn that circuit in the traditional sense?
I think these days our life is made a lot easier with the help of simulators. So obviously we spend a lot of time just to get familiar with the track at first. And the Nordschleife is somewhere you have to respect. I feel when you start, you kind of attacking and treat it like a normal track, but there it quickly wakes you up. You know, when you have a moment when you go in the grass and you realize, whoa, I have no space, you kind of rein it in a bit, so you have to respect the place. But once you get into the flow, it actually feels very natural.
I've nowhere near the amount of laps that you have around there, and I've never raced around there. I would love to. I think it's a super place. I get what you say about the floor of it, that because it does. However, that provides you with a few problems, because there's a couple of bits in the middle of the lap in particular. I'm fine up to the carousel. Yeah. I reckon I could talk you around every inch of that. But then there's that bit in the middle where there's too many places that look alike.
Exactly. And, you know, more than the flow, it's like when you're driving alone or with a pack of GT3s, the pace is so quick, everything just feels normal. And then all of a sudden you catch another class, which is way slower.
Yeah.
And that quickly puts you off your references and you get a bit, you know, flustered. So that's kind of the hardest thing, dealing with the traffic and also the changing conditions.
Well, we'll be there for the 24, as ever, for those of you listening here on RS1. We've got full coverage of all the NLS of the 24 hours, plus the qualifying weekend as well, which went to a new system last year. Really thought that worked, to be honest. And then in race week, live in sound and vision as well. Also sound and vision for the NLS. We are the official English language broadcaster, so plenty of action on the Nordschleife coming up in 2023. Axel, just bring you back to here. How did this opportunity come about then? Was it literally a phone call out of the blue? Had you been banging on that door? How did it work?
Yeah, actually, it was a bit random. I hadn't met anyone in the team before. I believe Nicky also pushed quite a bit for me, and he helped quite a lot to make this happen. So yeah, they gave me a call a couple of months ago and we started talks regarding this, and now we're here.
And how do you feel you've represented yourself so far? I mean, whether this is an audition, whether it's just a test, we'll find out, I'm sure, in due course. Do you feel you've done your best?
Yeah, I was really happy yesterday. You know, I wanted this quite bad and I put in a lot of work beforehand. And I was really happy with how yesterday went, to be honest. Really happy.
Well, we'll either be talking about you next weekend at the NLS, and that'll be Johnny Palmer and Peter Snowden taking the first one of that, or we'll be talking about you here in the 1,000 miles on Friday. I don't think you can get back quick enough to do them both, if I'm honest.
Nah, for sure not. I mean, and even if I do, the jet lag will kill me.
You just got to not accept the premise of jet lag. I think your aching bones from being rattled around here from however many stints you did would probably do for you just as much.
Exactly. But no, let's see. I hope I'm here next week.
Oh, we hope you are too. Axel Jeffries, thank you very much indeed for speaking to us. Wish you all the best for whatever this 2023 season brings you. Good luck, fella.
Thank you very much.
Well, the weather certainly played its part this prologue weekend for the 2023 FIA World Endurance Championship. I'm at Kessel Racing. Brightly coloured Ferrari 488 still, remember, because this is the last year of the GTE cars. And bumped into an old acquaintance of mine, actually quite a young acquaintance of mine, to be honest, Scott Huffaker. The last time that we chatted was when he was part of Jeremy Shaw's Team USA, which was how long ago, Scott?
It was 2019, so 3.5 years ago, because it was later in the year at Silverstone.
That's right, it was. How things change. So since then, we've had the long yellow flag that was the COVID pandemic. And now I'm talking to you in a World Endurance Championship paddock. How does that feel?
It feels pretty good because this is my first year racing WEC, so, which obviously this is the pinnacle of endurance racing, so it's it feels quite good to be here.
You haven't got a huge amount of sports car and GT experience, so how important is it for you to be here for this prologue? Your car's getting a bit of remedial attention at the moment, but how important has it been for you to get some laps?
Yeah, it's hugely important because me, I'm a GT rookie, so I just need to get used to it. I've been racing the P2 since 2020, so I have experience in racing that, but nothing like this, so it's important to use the prologue to get a feel and then start really pushing, explore the limits here. So then when it comes race time, you know, you're all prepared. But it's good also that it's here at this track because I have experience here. So I'm quite comfortable with the track. I'm just learning the car.
Which is probably the exact opposite to a lot of people in this paddock, to be honest, who come from Europe, and particularly if they haven't been here before, they are not... I don't think you can ever be prepared for Sebring if you've not been here before. No amount of sim time is going to let you know what it's really like out there.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think Most of the track is fine. It's a bit rough, obviously, so that's a bit of a surprise. But it's really turn 1 and 17 that kind of stand out, that I think people who have never been here struggle with. It's just building the confidence, because you have an off there, it's usually a big incident. So and it's obviously the roughest part of the track, so there's nothing like turn 1 and 17 in the rest of the world.
No, I think when we often say unique, and it's sometimes a bit of an overused expression, but Sebring is unique. It is one of one. How's it been going with Kessel, and how have you got on with the team? Your teammates are Daniel Serra, who has a huge amount of experience, particularly in the Ferraris, Takashi Kimura as well. How have you been getting on with them and the rest of the team?
Yeah, it's been awesome. The team is really nice, super helpful. Being a bit patient with me, you know, getting up to speed and everything. And working with Daniel's been awesome, because he's hugely experienced in the Ferrari. So he's kind of the perfect teammate to have as a newbie in the car. And, Kimura's been amazing. I think Sebring is quite different than what he's used to racing, so he's exploring the limits. But, he's actually doing very well here. So I'm very excited to be working with him.
Little bit of damage that's been attended to on the front of the car. What happened there?
Yeah, I think Kimura was out for a quali sim, and he just pushed a little too hard in 17 and just grazed the wall. But, you know, grazing the wall there is quite a big incident. So, which it's good he's doing it now, exploring the limits, because now we have time. You know, we can fix the car. We have, you know, the afternoon session and everything. So right now is the time to explore and push. So next weekend we can do some of the finer tunings.
And what have you found that you will be able to take into next week, and what do you think you still need to find similarities, differences from racing cars that you've driven in the past, the P2 cars, your most recent steed? Can you compare that to this?
Yeah, for sure. I think the thing that was hardest for me to really get used to was the amount of movement, because it really was hard to tell if the car was settling or if the car was sliding, you know, and it feels a little bit more numb. But other than that, it's actually going quite smooth. I think the high speed, like turn one, is actually more difficult than the GT, because you have to be more patient to throttle. You can't carry the speed. So the high speed corners is a bit different, but the low speed, this car feels like it has more grip and it's more responsive. So and the brakes are amazing. Like, it's crazy how good the brakes are.
I was out around the track yesterday, and which I don't often get to do, so it's fabulous for me. I think that the braking capabilities on these GTE cars, and bear in mind, dear listeners, these are not ABS cars. GT3s are ABS cars. GTEs are not. Very sophisticated traction control, but no ABS. There's places around this circuit where, and Turn 1's one of them, I saw a couple of near misses yesterday with GTE cars where a P2 would go past, pull out onto the racing line, and then the GTE would have to snake back out again and was back down the inside.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think a bit of that too is the tire difference. You know, the Michelin compound that we run here is very good in the GT, so I think that really helps with the braking performance. But it's quite tricky sometimes with the prototypes. More tricky than I would have thought, but it's good that I have the perspective of the prototype. Right. And now coming here, because I kind of know where I don't like to pass, you know, GT, or I know if they do this, I'm going to go for the pass, you know. So I really know I, like, really have to close the door to say, no, don't come here. So it's interesting being on this perspective, and I think it'll actually help me as well for the prototype. So it's just knowing each. And I think the thing I found out the most, which I knew this a bit from the prototype, but now I really feel, the best thing that they can do is be aggressive and assertive and, you know, I think both sides, you know, you have to be aggressive and state, this is what I'm doing. If there's any kind of confusion, it's terrible.
Yes, that's when things go wrong. There's, you don't want to be half... hearted, I nearly said something else there. Half-hearted about that. And there's a skill, we often talk about this in commentary, and I think sometimes people don't understand this when they're either trackside or watching on the TV. there's as much of a skill, Scott, to being passed as there is to doing the passing, particularly, you know, in a race situation where you don't want to slow yourself down.
I think it's much harder to be in this. It's much easier to do the passing because it's you making the move.
Yeah, yeah.
Where in the GT, you're reacting. So that's really where it's different. And it's actually a lot more difficult. And it holds you up more than you think. Like, if we get passed in the 7, we're faster at the apex, it feels. So it's like the prototype loses like half second. We also lose the half second. That's something I actually didn't know. I felt like we didn't hold them up at all in the prototype.
Right.
But now I see, okay, we do.
Learning from both sides. All part of life's rich tapestry and the journey of a motor racing career. Tell me about the rest of the season then. You're in for the whole year with Kessel for the World Endurance Championship. You've looked at the calendar about a million times, I'm absolutely certain. Which circuits are you really looking forward to in this Ferrari?
I think for sure, obviously Le Mans. You're racing a Ferrari at Le Mans. How could that, you know, nothing could be better. But I'm also really excited for Fuji because the track looks very different to anything. You know, it's very unique, and also I've really wanted to go to Japan, so I think it'll be completely different for me, a completely new experience. All the tracks will be fairly new. Obviously, Spa will be amazing. You know, that's a dream circuit to go to, but we do a test actually right after Sebring, so that'll be the first European track I drive in this car. So
we'll be Spa.
Yeah, so I'm quite excited.
Oh, huge smile on Scott's face. He said Portimao as well. Portimao, not quite as smooth as it used to be, but that's it's a great circuit for motorcycles. It's a phenomenal circuit for cars as well. It's a bit like Road Atlanta. That might sound odd, but pretty much every corner you can't see the apex. You're turning in blind for at Portimao.
Yeah, well, for me, it's all these tracks are new. You know, I don't have any experience, so I need to be quick and learn them quite fast. But again, it's good that I'm learning the car here, so then I'm just learning the track at all these places. And I don't think it'll be that difficult. I mean, obviously, learning a new track is not always easy, but I think it's helpful to have been racing more U.S. circuits than European circuits, because here you have to build up to the limit. You can start pushing with a lot less consequence there because there's runoff and things like this, and you have to be wary of track limits, obviously, but you can almost start by going too much and then tone back. So I think that's actually helpful to get up to speed quicker.
Just remember, they've put the gravel traps back in at Spa, right? I'm just reminding you of that. Because the last time I did any track laps at Spa, there was no gravel traps, and there was a car park outside of Puon and places like that. And I was only in a straight car for my first laps and thought, doesn't matter if I go off there, I'll just come back. Now there's a gravel track about a foot off the edge of the track at the same place. Well, we wish you the best, Scott. It's great to see you here. And another rung on the ladder, if you will. Where do you... This category disappears. So we have no GT going forward. It will become GT3. Do you want to... Is that what you see your future? Do you want to get back into the prototypes? Is this a year where you just want to keep racing and keep your name up there? You tell me.
Yeah, I think I just want to race. You know, so anything... like any series, really. So I'll see what the opportunities, you know, lie ahead. But yeah, I mean, just anything to keep racing. So
it's not a hugely busy season in the WEC, and they're nicely spaced, so will that give you the opportunity to perhaps jump in and do either some one-offs or a partial program elsewhere?
It's going to be quite tough because I race the endurance races, IMSA, ELMS and WEC, so I think it's 17 races. And and then I have a lot of test days already planned for IMSA, some test days for this. I have sim work I have to do for IMSA, so it's quite a busy schedule. So maybe if a one-off works, but I think it's more unlikely.
Well, we can't wait to see you back in the IMSA paddock when you're back here. So are you doing double duty this weekend?
Yes.
Oh, of course you are. I should have realised that before I started talking to you. How did you get into the mindset for that? And you've got to remember which pit box to go into. A bit late.
Yeah, no, that's actually something I've brought up. Is they It's not as big of a deal, the IMSA one, because that's the natural one. And yeah. also, let's say they say pit, and I'm thinking turn 15 pit.
Yeah.
If I miss, it's a few corners away.
Yes.
If I miss this one,
yeah.
the race is ruined. You know, So
are you asking your race engineer to say when you're in the 1,000 miles of the wet race, pit T15?
Yeah, so they remind us like quite a bit throughout the lap, nice. And they also remind us out of T13, so hopefully no mistakes happen. And the rules are quite different. I mean, they're much more strict in WEC. You know, you have to park in the box perfectly, you know, before you touch the car.
No wheel spin.
Yeah. Actually, now they allow some wheel spin because they got rid of the tire blankets. So you're still not doing a massive burnout like you could do in IMSA, but it allows for some wheel spin. But, yeah, it's just all the minor things where you can make a mistake. I just need to make sure there's no mistakes there. And I think switching between the cars will be tricky, but hopefully I think the cars are quite different, so I can separate them quite well.
That's interesting, isn't it? Because most people would say, if you were driving the same manufacturer car in both series, that would actually help you out. Sometimes that's not the case. If you jump from a GT4 car into a GT3 car for the same manufacturer and it all looks visually similar, it doesn't give you the clues, does it?
No, yeah, exactly. That's kind of what I was thinking. And last year I did P3 and P2 at the same weekend sometimes, and it was a bit tricky because they feel very similar when you're sitting there, but everything's different, you know. It's like the way you drive them is way different, and so it always takes a few laps. Here the seating position's different, the steering wheel's different, everything's different, so I hope the feeling's so different that it's like my brain just knows exactly what to do whenever I hop in.
Yeah, I like the sound of that, and I think that makes perfect sense. Well, you're going to be a very tired boy come Saturday night into Sunday. Let's hope you're tired and exhilarated and you've got a couple of decent results. Best of luck for this paddock. Glad to hear that we are going to still see you in the longer races. So we'll see you here in the 12 hours, the Mobile 1 12 hours of Sebring, and then not until sailing 6 hours then.
Yeah, that'll be my next IMSA, but then I've got a lot of races in between with WEC and ELMS, so I think there's 5 weekends in a row. That's crazy. So, it's exciting, but it'll be busy for sure.
I know I should know this, but what are you racing in the ELMS?
I'm racing Kessel. Okay. It's the same team. Daniel won't be with us, but we have Frederick Schandorf, so also very good, and he'll be racing IMSA in the McLaren, so... Yeah, I'm excited to be working with him. I think the only thing that will be different is the tyres. So,
Well, it's a busy season, which is great, because busy is good in all of our businesses, both sides of the fence. Scott Huffaker, thank you very much indeed for talking to us. Really good to see you again. You're looking very relaxed. Let's hope you get a bit more time in the car before the end of the day today, and have a good race week next week. Race well, race safely.
Yeah, thank you.
That noise in the background is the Glickenhouse ticking over. Romain Dumas is here. I'm just going to step into the shade, actually, a little bit. I'm getting old. How's things going, Romain? I spoke to Ryan earlier on in the weekend. Getting through the work?
Well, yes. I mean, it's not an easy one. I mean, for sure. As everybody knows, we didn't test over winter, so yesterday was the first really time we were driving with the new tires. For everybody, so now we try to adapt the car. This morning was a good step, so we have to continue on the same direction. For sure, it's not an easy track for us here, we know about it, but we have to do the best out of it and we'll see.
So this is good for next weekend, for the 1,000 miles, but I presume, well, you tell me, are you learning, are you gaining data, are you learning things that will put you in a good place for the rest of the season, or does that have to take place on the European tracks?
No, we are learning a lot, mainly with these tires, because now, you know, to use no blanket, nothing, to start with cold tires, to find the right pressure, it's already not easy. On top of that, when you do in Sebring, you know, it's really warm here, so normally it should help, but it's also very bumpy, so at the end of the day, it's a lot of things to take on consideration. I think it's the hardest track to find the right setup, plus on top of that to learn about this terrace. So a lot of question mark. But all what we learn here for sure will be good for the future.
How long is it since you... I mean, you drove in the ALMS and IMSA, so you've driven without tyre warmers before.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. I don't remember. It's too long ago.
No, it's... Well, and listen, I've seen you do Pikes Peak. There's no tyre warmers there, mate, and it's very cold at the top.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. Pikes Peak is a different story. A nice one. I mean, for sure, I'm used to complicated situation possible, but, you know, at the end, we are all here to do our best, so we try to take the best out of the car, of the driver, and to do the best result. So, you know, our last race was Monza. It was very good. For sure, now competition is harder. We didn't prepare incredibly well over winter because we didn't do much. But, you know, the team is still the same. We are very motivated. So let's work and we will see.
Is it possible at this stage of a test weekend, as we're heading towards the first race, even maybe during practice and qualifying the first race, is it possible to know where everybody stands, or is it still unknown?
Yeah, I think you see the true picture, more or less, depending of which kind of fuel you are using on board. But, you know, with the BOP now is fixed, I think everybody is pushing to the limit because it makes no sense to not show the performance. We don't care. It's ready to go, so everybody can drive on a maximum.
You have to go. I'll let you go. Thanks, Roman. Always a gentleman, Romain Dumas. Just being signalled there by Ollie Platt, his teammate. Spoke to Ryan Briscoe in one of the earlier shows this week. The weather has... I know I've talked about this a lot, but it's been absolutely fantastic all the way through these past 2 or 3 days, so nobody can complain about not getting a decent run on the track. Let's have a little wander around on my mobile studio on this golf cart, and we'll see who else we can find to talk to before we wrap up this third show of the prologue for the 2023 WEC World Endurance Championship, Sebring. Lovely. Well, I think we're going to have to call it a day and a weekend here at the WEC Prologue at Sebring, as things are beginning to wind down towards the end of the afternoon session. Bizarrely, it hasn't meant that there are more people around. It's rather meant that there are fewer as they're heading off into debriefs. The good news is our coverage starts in earnest on Wednesday. Every session of the FIA WEC covered live, free, no blocks, no breaks. And would be delighted to have your company for that. You are going to have to do a bit of channel hopping if you're going to follow IMSA as well. Because whilst the WEC will be on RS1, IMSA, of course, on IMSA Radio on RS2, the full schedule is available either at imsaradio.com or at radiolemon.com. Just scroll down to the bottom of the page, whatever page you're on either of those sites, and you'll see the live on-air schedules. And given that we've changed times and gone to daylight savings time here in the US before Europe and the UK, you'll be pleased to know that it auto-converts to your browser time. Thank you, Tim Gray, for that brilliant bit of programming. So I've come out on the golf cart, our little mobile studio, for the last couple of 3 days to the outside of turn one. And I always like to come here to see which cars are doing what. I came out earlier in the week, and it's interesting to see now just how much improvement there's been in the setup of these cars. And if you've listened to all three of these programmes now, thank you. But also, you'll know we've been talking at some length, particularly to Earl Bamber, about how different these cars look and sound at the front of the field. And the same could be said, of course, right throughout the GTE AM field. P2 going through there is noticeable for its rapid machine gun fire downshift. There's the Alpine number 35. That's the 48 Jota. That's the Hertz team Jota car that will magically transform itself into a Porsche 963 at some stage before Le Mans. Want to wait for a couple of hypercars to come through for you. That's the other United car, the 22 Ferrari GTE, 23 United 77 Proton Porsche, another one of the
GT Ferraris. That's the other Jota car. Ah, there we are. The nice, gentle sound of a Toyota cruising around. Now the Iron Dames 85 Porsche. Another P2 going through there. Those popping and banging P2s are great with that Gibson V8. 86. It's Mike Wainwright's car. That car was looking very good over the bumps at the start of the week. It's not looking any worse now, I'll tell you that. I was hoping to see one of the Peugeots come through. There goes the Toyota. Excuse me. There goes the Porsche, number 6. The 963 is looking very good indeed around here. And they have been getting quicker and quicker. I did think that the number 5 was looking slightly less stiffly sprung earlier in the week. There's the Peugeot in its grey and black and bright yellow livery, followed by the Ferrari. Very understated, that Ferrari on track. It just gets on and does its job. It's a very pretty car to look at and extremely complicated around the rear end. It's not been a good weekend for either Peugeot or Ferrari. They both lost a car with that incident for the 94 Peugeot that required some remedial work. And Ferrari have still got one car in the garage. That won't be coming back out again. That's, I think, was Collado's car that had its issues, and that's still in a state of undress when I drove through to come here. But what I'm looking at now, with the slightly reduced numbers of cars still circulating, is a variety that we've not seen for a very long time in the FIA World Endurance Championship. And I want to have a word about everybody's three least favourite letters, B, O and P. The FIA WEC have told us that this BOP is now fixed beyond Le Mans. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, surely only what we'll find out after the end of this weekend and probably the next couple of races will let us know that. But this is a very different circuit than, say, Portimao, right, couldn't be wrong circuit, or indeed Spa-Francorchamps, which is directly before Le Mans. But I'll tell you now, I think between IMSA, who have a lot more data, of course, on the LMDH cars, and the ACO technical department, as the Glickenhaus goes out on an outlap, that bright blue colour, I think they've done a pretty good job. And you can look at the times and say, well, how hard have people been trying? And quite obviously, we don't know. How have they been using the Michelin tyres? How much fuel have they got in? Well, again, we don't know. But I'd gauge it by how many people are happy up and down the paddock. And I've not heard one single dissenting voice in this WEC paddock here at the Prologue about where they feel they are. It's the usual shrug of the shoulders and, well, I suppose we'll see once we get more into the season. But nobody, and I mean nobody, is complaining about where their BOP has been set for this Prologue and going into the 1,000 miles of Sebring next week. And given that's the case for the next three races after that, then hopefully we're in for less chat about BOP and more chat about close racing. Go and look up at the times on Alcamel. Still some fast laps being turned here. It's been a super couple of days. Weather's been brilliant. Atmosphere in the paddock has been brilliant as well. And really uplifting. Very positive. Thanks for joining us for these three shows. Once more, a reminder, we kick off on Wednesday. RadioLeMond.com, RS1. imsaradio.com, RS2. Check the schedules for details. Thanks to everybody who's talked to us on our little mobile studio. Taking the golf cart back into the substantive part of the paddock now. So as the number 7 Toyota goes through turn 1 in a completely unfussed way, as if there was no bumps there at all, actually. There's the Ferrari following it through. Slightly harsher note to the V6 engine in the Ferrari when it gets on the power. And then let's revel in those
GTE AM cars as the Glickenhaus now goes through. Well, I'm a very happy person this weekend. It's been good to be here, and I'm looking forward to when competition gets even more exciting through the 1,000 miles of Sebring, which you can hear live on RS1 right across the week. See you then. Whatever you're doing, have a good one, and make sure you've got all your timings right for when we're back on Wednesday. From Sebring, from me, John Hindhoff, and on behalf of all of our guests, thanks for listening. It's bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.